Welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, streaming live all around the world at WLXG.com. Angelo Carriera with you on this very overcast Sunday morning here in Lexington, Kentucky. And apparently it's like that about an hour and a half north I-75 in Cincinnati, Ohio, where the Cincinnati Bengals will be taking on the Los Angeles Chargers today a little after 4 o'clock. And I thought, you know, I haven't really talked Bengals so much since I rebooted the show. It's been, I think everybody, especially the NFL, was kind of worried, are we going to have a season? What is this going to look like? Is there going to be a COVID outbreak? But everything is full systems go, and since that is the case, I am glad to invite on a friend of the program from the Cincinnati Enquirer, Tyler Dragon. Tyler, you've been able to be with the team this year, but first, before we talk about any of that, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, given all the circumstances. You know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic, but, you know, my family and I, we're safe and healthy, so no complaints over here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. I mean, we're in such an interesting time with COVID and a modern, you know, social justice, civil rights movement. It's been unbelievable, like, what's been going on, and I'm just glad that you're doing okay and you're staying safe and your family is safe as well, so that's very good to hear. One thing that I think everybody is chomping at the bit to hear, and I need to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. You have been on the ground covering Cincinnati here since they were able to reboot and go to training camps and whatnot. Tell me, is Joe Burrow going to be the best quarterback in the NFL this year? Is he the chosen one? Is he the guy to save Cincinnati, save professional football in Cincinnati? Tell me the deets.
Well, you know, I don't want to put all the pressure on them that, you know, the metropolitan area of Cincinnati has already placed on Joe Burrow's shoulders. Now, he did look good during training camp. There were some up and down moments, though. I remember he threw an interception to Carlos Dunlap. I know one day that he had a botched snap that led into a fumble. So it wasn't all, you know, roses and peaches and cream for Joe Burrow during training camp. But overall, he did look pretty good, especially for a rookie quarterback coming in with no offseason OTAs or no rookie minicamp. So given the circumstances, he did perform pretty well. But, you know, the Bengals were having a vanilla defense on the other side at him. They weren't really blitzing him, and, you know, they're going to protect their franchise quarterback. So overall, I did give him an A-minus in training camp, but now we're really going to find out what type of player Joe Burrow is. And, you know, I wouldn't place a lot of expectations on him right now because at the end of the day, he still is a rookie. And today he's going up against two of the best pass rushers in the National Football League. So let's, you know, calm down. Let's temper our expectations a little bit and let him grow into a quarterback, because this offseason was an offseason like we've never seen before. I'm not breaking any news there. And he and all other rookies did not have a chance to really grow into the NFL. They're learning on the fly, really. And, you know, Joe Burrow, the Bengals placed a lot on their shoulders by, you know, drafting him number one overall and then releasing Andy Dalton a week later. So they pretty much said, you have the keys to the franchise, and he's been the day one starter as soon as the Bengals drafted him, and I have pretty good expectations for him. I think he's a dark horse candidate to get NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, but, you know, I do want to see him perform against an opposing defense who's not, you know, just throwing a vanilla defense at him and just letting him, you know, complete passes. And it all starts today against the Los Angeles Chargers at Paul Brown Stadium.
Look, Tyler, you're a fantastic writer, and you've got a podcast and everything. You've got all that. Radio is about sensationalism. They don't want logic and nuance in this. They want to hear Joe Burrow. And you said dark horse for Offensive Rookie of the Year? You're talking about the favorite for the MVP of the NFL, right?
Oh,
and Joe Burrow? No, I think he's definitely the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year, unless Clyde Edwards-Helaire has another, you know, 100-plus rushing yard game, or he has 16 more of those. I can definitely see maybe that being the case. But that's good to hear about Joe. He was named captain, correct?
Yes, he's one of seven captains on the team. And, you know, that's a testament to the way he conducts himself and his maturity. I wasn't surprised that he was named captain, but you know, it is, you know, a great gesture by his teammates, and it shows, you know, how much they believe in him, and you know how much, you know, they trust him, and you know, he's already made a positive impression on all his teammates this early on, and that's just a testament to who he is and his character.
So this isn't one of those, you know, faux captains. They weren't just like, oh, he's the star rookie, we got to give him this. This is legit. Like, he earned his captainship, right?
Yes, he definitely earned that C on his jersey.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's very encouraging to hear about Joe. And by the way, you're listening to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, Angelo Carriero talking to Tyler Dragon of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Tyler, for Joe to have the Offensive Rookie of the Year, or, you know, in my scape and what I like to spew out is MVP Joe Burrow, how is A.J. Green looking?
Well, initially there was a little bit of a scare early on in training camp because he dinged up his hamstring and he was pretty much out for the majority of camp. And, you know, that's not a great sign when you have a receiver that's coming off of missing all of last season with a left ankle injury, and then you follow that up with a left hamstring injury. He is 100% healthy. He declared that earlier this week. I expect him to be in the game for about, you know, 40 to 55 snaps today. He's the number one, that X receiver on the outside. But, you know, we really don't know how good A.J. Green is going to be. We have not seen him on a football field since December of 2018. And even that game, he didn't finish. So his last full game, you have to go all the way back to October of 2018. So that is almost 2 years from today. So A.J. Green, you know, eyes are going to be on him as well as Joe Burrow, because the Bengals paid him that franchise tag this offseason because they want him to go out there and prove it, that he can stay healthy and he's the A.J. Green of old. And if he proves those two things, then the Bengals will be inclined to probably give him an extension, maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years extension, so he can finish his career as a Cincinnati Bengal.
Well, he is the franchise, and to me, one of the best players, one of the consummate Bengals to ever come through here. He's kind of defined what a Cincinnati Bengal is in all of the good ways over the last decade. But the wide receiver core, when talking about Joe Burrow and how he's going to perform, he's going to have to rely heavily on a core that I think a lot of Bengals fans and even some NFL people think that is going to be a pretty threatening wide receiver group. How have they looked in getting in a rhythm with Joe Burrow, especially a guy that I'm interested in John Ross?
Well, the players that he's really built chemistry with early on, and it was very evident, is Tyler Boyd, Auden Tate, and Mike Thomas. Those were the receivers that were pretty much healthy and at training camp the entire time. He really has a good rapport with Tyler Boyd. I expect Boyd to have another 1,000-yard season. That will be his third consecutive. Auden Tate, he's a good red zone threat. He has a big catch radius. Burrow liked to look his way when they were in 11-on-11, especially in the red zone. He goes up and tacks those jump balls. And then Mike Thomas, he had a breakout training camp. He really caught the eyes of the coaching staff and, you know, even me from watching camp. Now, as far as John Ross, he had his own injury, and then he had to deal with his son contracting a coronavirus. So he went back to L.A. for a little while to, you know, make sure his son was okay. And thankfully that his son recovered fine. And
that's great
back
news to hear.
Yeah, he was back in training camp, and then, you know, he did not play in the scrimmage because he got nicked up in his arm, but I do expect him to play. Their chemistry, we really have not seen a lot of, you know, Joe Burrow throw John Ross's way because he just hasn't been, you know, on the field, and the Bengals were being cautious with him because of his arm injury as well as A.J. Green. So today we're going to find out, you know, how much, you know, those players have been working you know, off to the side and before practice, and then when media isn't around, because, you know, AJ Green and Joe Burrow, they did acknowledge and admit that they have been, you know, working on their timing and their chemistry when, you know, us media members aren't allowed at practice or on and during off days. So that's gonna, we're gonna find out today how good their chemistry is overall against the Chargers team, who does have a pretty good secondary, even without Derwin James.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM, WLXG.com, streaming live all around the world. Tyler Dragon on with the Cincinnati Inquirer. Tyler, you talked about two guys just a second ago in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram when you said two of the best pass rushers in the league, a guy in Joey Bosa that I think has the potential to be the best defensive player in the NFL someday. This offensive line, Jonah Williams at left tackle, Hopkins at center, you know, Bobby Hart back at right tackle, which every Bengals fan is just absolutely thrilled they could re-sign at the $21 million. Talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about Jonah Williams, how he's looked, maybe a little Billy Price update. What's this offensive line looking at? Are we going to get a competent one in Cincinnati? What's the word?
Well, Jonah Williams doesn't get to ease into his first NFL start. We all know he was injured his entire rookie season with a shoulder injury, and his really his debut is going up against Joey Bosa, one of the best defensive ends in all of the National Football League. He has looked pretty good during practice. He looks like a first-round pick left tackle that the Bengals originally drafted in 2019. So I do expect them to have an upgrade at that position and not a revolving door how they had last year. They started four different left tackles in 2019. As far as the other members in the offensive line, you got Michael Jordan. No, not the basketball player, but the Bengals do have a left
23?
Guard. Michael Jordan. he's going to be there at the left guard. Then you have Trey Hopkins. They signed him to an extension a few months ago. I expect him to serve that center position. Then you have Xavier Suofilo at right guard, and then at right tackle, as you alluded to, you have Bobby Hart. Now, Bobby Hart, he was the most penalized offensive lineman on the Bengals team last year, and he's going up against Melvin Ingram. So that is, I post three keys every single week for Bengals games as a preview, and that the left tackle and the right tackle position are really one of my three keys, because that's going to, if you're not going to watch Joe Burrow, which I know all fans are, I would watch those two positions right there, because that's going to play a huge role in the outcome of the game, is how well the Bengals can block those two pass rushers, because those are the best two defenders on the Chargers teams, and those are two Pro Bowlers, and the Bengals have pretty much a rookie out there at left tackle who, you know, but he is a first round pick, and another guy who's really inconsistent, and we've seen it, him get penalized left and right, whether it's false starts or whether it's holding, you know, illegal contact. So that is going to be a huge matchup for the Bengals today, and, you know, I would have my eyes on that as well as the number one overall pick, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, if Bobby Hart's the drum, then Melvin Ingram's Travis Barker. I mean, it's just going to be absolutely brutal. I really do think so on that. So I'm guessing Billy Price isn't working out, which is unfortunate for them. I know he's a backup right now. We'll see if that pick ever works out. But moving on to the defensive side of the ball, and we don't have a ton of time left, so I'm just going to make this a two-part kind of umbrella question. Again, thank you for your time this morning. Is the run defense and the new-look secondary, what can we expect from those two units this season?
Well, the Bengals have four new starters on defense, and it would have been five if Trey Waynes were healthy. He suffered a pectoral injury early on in training camp. So the Bengals are hoping for DJ Reader and Josh Bynes, Von Bells of the world. They're hoping that their new offseason acquisitions can kind of upgrade their run defense and as well as their pass defense. We know the Bengals were in the bottom of the league in run defense and near the bottom of the league in defending the pass as well. So there's going to be four new faces out there in the Bengals defensive side of the football. The Bengals spent a lot of money on the on defenders. So to answer your question, is that going to be able to, you know, satisfy and upgrade the run game? remains to be seen, because the Bengals really did not hit during the offseason, during training camp, and we don't have any preseason games to go from. I will tell you, on paper, let me preface my statement, on paper, the Bengals look like a better defense, but I want to see it on the field.
It's fair enough. Okay, so this is going to be a good barometer of how you feel. 4 o'clock, or a little after 4 o'clock today, the Chargers are visiting Cincinnati. Who do you got taking the game?
Well, you know, the Chargers and the Bengals, I feel like these two teams, they're not really all that great. And, you know, I expect these teams to finish below 500, both of them. However, I think the Chargers' pass rush is going to give the Bengals a lot of problems, and especially a rookie quarterback back there in Joe Burrow. So I have the Chargers actually winning today 23-20.
23-20. Real quick question is, I think that Ohio's letting the Bengals have two games with fans there. Is this one of them?
No. Their next game, they will have fans. And in fact, next week, the Bengals travel to Cleveland to play the Browns, and there will be fans there, 6,000.
Okay. Last thing before I let you go, because I feel like if you're going to take your time out to talk to me this morning, that I should give you this little, you know, 50-second space if you want to talk about how great LeBron James and the Lakers are. Because for those that don't know, you are from Los Angeles. At least I think you're from there. I know you lived and went to college in Los Angeles, and that you're a huge Los Angeles Lakers fan. And I was someone that said that the Rockets were going to win the series in 7. And that's before I thought that, you know, Frank Vogel wouldn't adjust. I thought they were going to throw Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee out there for 60 minutes a game between the two. So you can understand why I was a little suspect, but I never doubted the talent of LeBron and Anthony Davis. So go ahead, say what you need to.
So you predicted the Rockets to win in 7?
The way that they could shoot the three ball, especially remember in the bubble that they had beaten Milwaukee, they had beaten they had a couple other big wins in the bubble, and with that team, that the way they're knocking down shots, honestly, I mean, we can agree that when you lose Daniel House, you're destined to lose anyways. But no, I just thought that being able to spread out the ball, I thought they were going to throw JaVale and Dwight out there. And honestly, you have to admit the Lakers were a terrible three-point shooting team, and the Rockets shot enough of them to get that advantage. And I didn't think that they were going to be able to go tit for tat from three, but you know, obviously, you know, to the point where you have to throw out Talen Horton Tucker out there because you want to go so small, and then LeBron James can just rip stuff up from there. I just really thought that that was a great adjustment by Vogel.
Yeah, you know, you should have really known about playoff LeBron. And then
I do know about playoff LeBron, but I'm just saying.
And then I am disappointed with you being a Kentucky guy, if you not knowing about playoff Rondo.
I'm the biggest Rajon Rondo fan there. You know what, Tyler Dragon? I appreciate you this morning. No, go ahead. Yeah, just say, I mean, do you think that the Lakers from here can win the championship?
Yes, I do think they can win the championship. That's not because I'm a little bit biased. And
a lot of bit biased.
A Lakers supporter. But, you know, when you have the best player in the world and the second best player of all time, I still have Michael Jordan ahead of LeBron. But LeBron is easily the best player in the National Basketball League right now. You have Anthony Davis, who is a top 5 player in the NBA. As long as they play as advertised, and you have some help along the way with the others, and Kyle Kuzma and Rajon Rondo, Markieff Morris, if you know you have help from them, then they should be fine.
I'll tell you what, I think that before The Last Dance, you were, and I'll check your receipts, that you said LeBron was the best player of all time. I think The Last Dance might have colored your image on Michael Jordan, but that's neither here nor there. I've got to go on a break
all.
And make my picks for the day.
That's fake news.
That's fake news. Oh, okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see after the show. But until then, buddy, have a good day. Stay safe while you're in the stadium and in the press box and whatnot. But can't wait to hear from you again soon, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Tyler. All right. We're going to come back. I'm going to make my picks for the day right here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5 FM.